alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're on page 9 of your notes, and we're on Roman numeral 12. No? Last time I gave you scriptures that made more sense with the flat earth. So that was point 11. Now we're on 12. And wrong? I'm on 11 still? I didn't finish 11? I didn't do it, period? All right. If you insist, I'll do 11 too. Oh, the reason I did that is because I added a scripture at the end. I added another point, like J or something on there. That's not on your previous ones. If you'd like, take 30 minutes to check all that out. Now even the pastor's wife's disrupting the assembly. This is the last days. All right. No, she's not. She's fine. She's cool. I'm sure we need to take a few moments to get ourselves in fellowship and proceed forward. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to assemble ourselves together and for all the grace that you provide us in these times that we find ourselves. We recognize that you are over all and your plan is advancing perfectly. And we thank you for the information and that you will continue to provide and protect and guide us as we move forward. Be with us in our study today in Christ's name. Amen. All right. The last point I gave you in that was how this now makes perfect sense. We don't have to have a mind twister with it anymore. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. This makes sense. Now, of course, this is the second advent, and the second advent is going to be unbelievable, dramatic event. It's going to be, everything's going to be blacked out except for the light and the glory of Christ and our coming with him to earth. That will light up everything, because the sun won't be serving the earth at that point. Isaiah 66:1. I needed a verse in this whole study that establishes this. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne room, and earth is my footstool. A footstool is always, even if it's used metaphorically, as in Christ's enemies will be a footstool, it means two things. They're in the immediate vicinity, and secondly, they are beneath the object in view. Otherwise, it's not a footstool. A footstool serves or is beneath a superior object that is above it. To belabor that a bit. Characteristics of Earth 2. As I said, when I did the book of Revelation back in the day, it was said to me as a result when I got to the end of it and we were dealing with the new and final creation, I think it's flat, the new one. But that makes perfect sense. And so if it's flat, it would seem quite logical that the preceding one wasn't the absolute total opposite in terms of its shape. Longevity, yes. But the new earth, it is flat to accommodate the new Jerusalem. Revelation 21:16. The city is laid out as a square, and its height is as great as its width, and he measured the wall with a rod, 1,500 miles. Its length, width, height are equal. It's a cube. And a cube would have a real problem fitting on a curved surface. So that's that. Makes sense that it would fit perfectly on this earth. And again, the New Jerusalem, this houses, this is the residence for all of the saints from the beginning all the way to the second advent. Millennial saints are outside the city. The nations that are brought over in onto the new earth, they are actual nations because we have the kings of the earth bring their glory to the city. This is a highlight for them to visit this city. What I'm saying is that the city is a crown jewel. It is featured, and its glory extends over the face of the earth. It's not some little tiny bitty object on something. In other words, yes, God can make something as big as he wants it to make. But he doesn't make it just to be bigger and bigger to be because he can do it. He isn't that kind of a God. I'm going to do it to make it bigger. Then you can always make it bigger. You can always make it larger. He makes it to accommodate his people. And that would be the millennial crowd. Now, yeah, I have questions about the millennial saints and their natural bodies without sin natures and aging and all that mess. But it's inconceivable. In fact, it is ridiculously stupid that you would have where there is no sun, moon, and stars. The earth isn't dependent on that for light. That you would have a ball spinning with a city on it. It's like the first earth. It's immovable. It's set in place. Yet there is a difference. There is a difference in that the throne of God is located on the new earth. It's not up above like it is now. It is located on the new earth, on what was previously his footstool. God's heavenly throne will be relocated to the new earth, Revelation 21, 1 through 5, and 22, 1 through 3. Just for your information, there's so much goofy stuff, of course, and shallow stuff with regard to the topic of heaven. It's nice to know, in my mind, that okay. Hey, yeah, if you call on your phone, don't do it now. If you call on your phone, for local weather report, on Sundays you get the gospel. You do, and it's right straightforward. You get that number after on break. Just go out there and call. You'll get evangelized. And they don't mess it up. They keep it simple. Boom. That was kind of nice. Since you don't hear that a lot in that way and on something that's kind of commercial. Revelation 21, 1 through 5. John in his vision. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away. And there is no longer any ocean. Features of the new earth. Something for you to think about in terms of people like to talk about future and all that. Okay, here's our future, ultimately. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. He will dwell among them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be among them. Not remote in another place called the third heaven. That's what I'm saying. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And that one was basically, the millennium and the immediate aftermath is going to end for humanity on earth. People like there are today, regular people in regular bodies, it's going to end on a real sad note. Well, all these people that they knew, associated with, related to, cared about, children, parents, what have you, they're gonna be in unbelief and go into the Gog and Magog event. And they're gonna see these people wiped out. It isn't pleasant. It isn't pleasant to see loved ones, people you care about, do this against all evidence to the contrary that they ought to believe. The first phase of the kingdom of God is designed, among other things, to extract out of it a redeemed humanity that can live on the new earth without a sin nature. That's the leaves of the tree, the antidote. And the antidote to the aging gene is to chomp into some of that fruit. This brings full circle what didn't happen in Eden. Had they, the parents, the original parents, resisted Satan, it would all would have been different. No need for a savior, nothing. They'd have went on. The demons and Satan would have been cast into the lake of fire, and boom. But God already knew this, so. This brings, actually, in spite of all the suffering and everything, this actually is better. And too bad for people, I mean it seriously, that didn't believe in Christ through time. That's their thing. I think about it every day. You need to become a believer. You need to believe in Jesus Christ. And while I feel that way, I know that God knows who's going to get saved and who isn't, but I'm not being goofy about it. It's just, you have Jesus reached out to everybody, even knowing what the result would be. He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there'll no longer be any death. There'll no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Boom! You can close the deal on that. Nothing for anybody. Those of us who inhabit this city. By the way, the city is a finite size. Yeah, any building that would be 1,500 by 1,500 by 15 would be, imagine you standing down at the base of it and looking up. You get dizzy looking at some of the skyscrapers if you look up. This will just, but still, it's finite. It's measurable in terms of human measurements. Because angelic measurements and human are the same. There's not a different length for a mile. All the same. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I'm making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. Addressing this to John, of course. And 22, 1 through 3. Then he showed me a river of features of the new earth. He showed me a river of the water of life. Of course, that symbolizes salvation. Clear as crystal. Coming from the throne of God. That's not heaven above. Coming from the throne of God and the Lamb. That's the Father and the Son. In the middle of the street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now that's thrown in at this point. Pray tell, what do they need to be healed from? The sin nature. That's the worst part of it. We might argue that aging is, but that's... There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it. And His bondservants will serve Him. For they will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. Anyway, the luminaries, sun, moon, and stars, will not exist. Instead, God's glory will provide constant light, Revelation 21, 23. And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. 22:23, exactly what that means, and 22:5. And there will no longer be any nighttime, and they will not have need of the light of the lamp, that's artificial light, or the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. So this, there will be no oceans. I just gave you that, Revelation 21:1. So it'll be one flat continent with a river running through it. And through this, humanity will thrive on the soil of that outside the city. Otherwise, what's the point of saying the kings of the earth will bring their glory? What kings? The kings that are established as kings, either in the millennium or new ones brought on board, and when they bring their glory, that means they don't come into this city and they look out of place. The city is glamorous as glamorous can be, but they are too. They come and bring their glory. So everything's going to be very attractive, really upscale, no shabby stuff at all, not even just plain. So that's the characteristics of Earth too, which sounds to me like a flat Earth all over the place. I mean, if I was going to look at the two, I would have never put the other one in there. All right, we move on to Roman numeral 13, a term called scientism. Is unproven science. That is theoretical. It's important to understand in the minds of men that they can invent stuff. I mean, that's why we have science fiction. That's why we have all this kind of stuff. People have these imaginations. Now, sometimes it serves us because it's entertaining and all the rest of it. But when it affects our understanding of the world around us, and more importantly, opposes Scripture, then we need to stop and realize it and not get impressed with, because so many people believe it, and because it's so established and ingrained from all of our education, all of our institutions, all this stuff everywhere we turn. Just because people say something about something doesn't mean that's true. They do it, And everybody catches on, and it just becomes knee-jerk with everybody, and they say, they throw out a term and trust the fact that some scientists and people out there really did the homework and proved these things. This is unproven. It's called theoretical versus true science, which is the basis of observation, testing, and repetition. You do it over and over, it must be true. That's the way that works. So we establish formulas for things, and that helps us, that serves us. How do you think all these things work if they didn't have true science behind them? They wouldn't work. And yes, they can be improved on from time to time and make a better whatever. But that's true science. So you go to school and you take, as I did in the sophomore level at least, I got biology. Well, they did the theoretical part, and then they did the actual study plants, study this, study that, organisms, mammals, all of it, you know, a little basic primer deal on what makes these things tick. That's fine. There's no problem with that. And, of course, even with proven science, there's always things to be learned. And they've learned a lot. But don't confuse this with that which cannot be proven. And basically requires on the part of the individual faith. Faith in an object. Evolution is in opposition to Genesis 1, 20 through 31. Those are the ones where we deal with life forms. From plants to aquatic life to birds to mammals, and finally humans. And as a believer, I want you to stand firm with these things in your own soul. Not that you're going to argue it and convince somebody out there, yeah, I believe in the Bible, but I believe in evolution too. What? That you hear this kind of craziness. You can believe anything, I guess. You can believe, I believe this in the Bible, but not that. Well, that's unacceptable. It's God's Word. He doesn't put out His Word with all this false stuff in it because He couldn't explain science to Adam and Eve, who He gave a full-blown vocabulary to, and they were up and running. Yes, it was left to Adam and his descendants to investigate and study and figure out how to make a metal sword or whatever. But that was given to him. He's in the image of God. They hit the ground running. They knew there was basic package of information they had. So wouldn't Satan in the angelic conflict back in the day want to turn on the Bible and attack it because it's becoming center play against all pagan stuff that's starting to crumble down? The pagan thing is passé. Christianity's making inroads. Even the corrupt form of Christianity was making some inroads. Paganism is old school. Well, that's done. So Satan has to gear up for the next round, one that will serve the last of the last days to fool the masses. And yes, he's still got all these religions out here. He could run billions into hell under. Then he's got to get the science crowd in. He would have seen this. He would have seen it was in the air. There's a time for this. And actually, the evolution is ludicrous to a rational mind. But these people believe it, just like some people believe that Mary is deity. I mean, they are dead set on it. They have been thoroughly brainwashed. I'm sure a bunch of otherwise believers have been, who got out of the influence of a particular professor and won them over into this evil. There's those that say that. They lost all their faith because they bought into evolution. Whatever faith they had coming up in their church and everything, it was all washed out. Yeah. Theory of gravitation, not needed on a flat earth. It has never been proven contrary to what they say. When somebody says evolution isn't a theory, it's a proven fact, it is not a proven fact. They have not observed organisms working their way up the ladder. They have not observed any of this. There's nothing in the fossil record. That's another big one. The fossil record doesn't have intermediate forms. What's this weird thing? It isn't out there. Yes, there's things that are extinct. There are apparently, and the rest of it. But the fossil record contains things that do not indicate a stair-stepping process. So, as with that, gravitation has never been proven. And in the people trying to support the spinning ball model, every time almost they appeal to gravitation. How does the ocean stay on the earth? Gravity. How does a plane stay right on the earth? Gravity. They pull it out all the time, and thinking it through, it doesn't make sense. The amount of gravitational pull necessary to hold trillions of gallons of water on a ball, you couldn't even, no, a bird couldn't fly over that type of a gravitational field. So if you ever think about, see, but on the flat earth, we don't need it. We don't need it. Remember how stupid it was for those of us that are now converts to think in your mind, and I'll go back in time and I'll use myself, and I'm, that if it wasn't for gravity, I said something incredibly stupid like this, probably more than once, we'd be all bouncing off of the ceiling. Huh. If the plug was pulled on gravity and we all go smashing into the ceiling, that's what we're told. I don't buy any of that either. Of course, the Big Bang Theory in opposition to Genesis 1:1, the theory of relativity, based on what I've read, designed to nullify the Michelson-Morley experiments, demonstrating that the earth is not moving. And these were two establishment physicists who believed it was moving and who set out to prove it was moving to shut everybody up. And they used a legitimate experiment, and they did it over and over and every time. Not moving. Not moving. And they brought Einstein in. And this all happened around about the same time. Turn of the last century. Modern astrophysics contradicts the origin of the Earth with its dome and the origin of the sun, moon, and stars. Here's the way Satan had to get it. He had to get an environment so he could sell these other things. The environment was Copernicus and his solar system and all that vastness out there. Had to get that so we could, then we had to get Newton with gravity to explain how in the world these things hold together. The gravitational field from the sun to the earth over 93 million miles, mind-boggling. Had to say that and put it in all this academic. And then we could trot out evolution. And then we could say, well, there's still a question of how did it all get here to begin with? And we get the Big Bang. And there you are. Some scientific facts that demonstrate that a flat non-rotating earth. Now, back in the day, I was told, you don't have to deal with any of the science, Jack, blah, 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 don't go there. Well, I can't not go there completely. This is for you as a believer to open your eyes, to do your own looking up how these things don't match up. And you pride yourself in being a logical person, because if you weren't, if you don't have these senses about you, you can be led in a lot of different directions. Water cannot adhere to a spinning ball. Okay. Water cannot adhere to a spinning ball. Water cannot run uphill, as is the case of the as would be the case of the Nile River in Egypt. What possible situation reverses the natural flow of water in the case of the Nile? I don't know. Can you imagine you're walking around one day and you still, when you believed all this, and someone dropped that on your head? You run over to your globe. Do I know where the Nile really is? Okay, I'll figure out how long it is. Maybe I can go to a book and find what the headwaters elevation is and what the end is elevation. Because you can find that. That's true science, because they just measure elevation. This is so high, this is so this and that. Elevation. Simple matter of observable measurements. So you have that one. I've dropped it on a few people, not inside the church, they're out there just talking. They go, double take. They were never challenged with that. And there's nothing unreasonable to ask about that. But that's the beginning of upsetting the apple cart. The apples happen to all be rotten. You need to use your brain. I didn't have anybody ever in any classroom I was ever in bring up this stuff. No adjustments have to be made by aircraft in flight due to curvature or rotation. I added that. Here's what you have to believe. There's an airport right over there. It's got a north-south runway. North-south. A plane's coming in to land on it, okay? And the runway is going 1,000 miles an hour sideways, that way. And the plane would have to also be going sideways as well as forward. We know it's going forward because we saw it land. But the whole thing is going that way. Whoa! That's hard to get your head around. But it doesn't bother people who are in scientism because it's a religion. And religions don't have to make sense. Just believe. Construction of railroad tracks and bridges do not factor in curvature in their blueprints. Nobody has to worry about it. No special adjustments. So we act like it didn't. There is no curvature, but we say there is curvature because we got this globe. But when we're down here, we act practically. We act like we're on a flat surface. I ran across 12 places on Earth that prove that the Earth is flat without curvature. If you want, I'll try to send her 12 places. One is over lakes, over salt plains. One in Bolivia. The one out there where they race cars and see how fast they can get them going. In fact, some places, you know, they always say Kansas is as flat as a pancake. It's flatter than a pancake. Pancake has a little bit of hump to it, usually. It's flatter than a pancake. So I had that because I ran into their planes, not planes. I just planes. Topographical feature. I wanted to find the longest one. The longest one, and so forth. Then I got a hold of this. It's not only plains. There's deserts that are flat. There's areas of water. The Maldives Islands, in the Indian Ocean, they go on and on. One island after a little, it's like stepping stones, one after another, and the elevation's the same. Boom, 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 all the way across, and you can see it perfect. The horizon, everything's perfect. And the reason the horizon is curved like this is because we're on a circular deal. The Danyang Kunshan Bridge in China was built in 2011. It's 102.4 miles in length. It's the longest bridge on Earth. Imagine getting in a car and being on a bridge for 100 miles. You can't get off. You're on it. There are some raised spots. That's for boats, ships to go under. But otherwise, it's flat. They would never raise this up unless they were accounting for ships to be able to get through. And some have bridges that open up, of course, to accommodate that. So no curvature of the earth was taken into account by the engineers that built that bridge. The horizon, Look up the word horizon and look up the word in your dictionary, horizontal. What position is the deal in? It's horizontal. It's level versus something else. So the horizon is always level, hence the expression sea level. Sea level. Likewise, for the Suez Canal, that is 120 miles long. And there's not a bunch of locks to accommodate deal. The locks on the Panama Canal is because of the different height in the two basins, the Pacific versus the Caribbean. That's the reason for that. But not the Suez. It runs all the way up, 120 miles. A great engineering feat. Connecting these so that you didn't have to get in a ship and go around the Horn of Africa to get where you wanted to go. You just cut right through. And there's tons of ships going through that every day. It's just filled with them. Again, with curvature, there would be no such thing as planes. We'd have to have a different vocabulary. God knows what that'd be, but now I believe that, as I pointed out to you, the leaders of the nations and their ilk know the true nature of the earth. They know it. Versus all of us down here that have been schooled in the other and under that idea. I don't say every leader everywhere has got this perfect, but the top people, the movers, these top people, they know it's flat. And they like to go like that to us by slapping it on the UN flag. You looked at that flag a million times. I bet you before you heard this talk, you would never looked at. Oh, that's just the earth. It's not a globe. And they're all about globalism. Global agendas. Yet they have a flat earth. Are they just trying to be humorous? Let's just twit everybody and put a flat earth up here. No. It's there, and this is done, people, in a lot of ways, and there's some very astute people that pick up on this stuff. They like to say what the real truth is from time to time. They might put it in a movie, a cartoon series like The Simpsons. Really? With a big dome, and somebody, and one of the goofy guys throws something up, all this water comes down on them. You know? They built it into these things. You can bet the people at the top of NASA know. Oh my! They have to. They have to. So the leaders of the nations know the true nature of the earth with its dome and the location of the throne room. Just as, well, the aborted Tower of Babel designed to reach the third heaven. Now, I know, for me, I say, that is completely nuts. With your engineering skills back then, you weren't even going to get close to the dome. I don't care how many bricks you've got. The stuff you're going to run into. But they weren't aware of those things. And it didn't matter to fanatics. Fanatics are fanatics. You can't talk to a fanatic. I've run into them in my church. With regard to certain topics. They're fanatics. I just won't listen to it. I could never believe that. Then how do we get anywhere? How do we make spiritual progress if we don't have an open mind? I don't mean gullible, suck in everything you hear, everything. I mean an open mind. If a person could positively, unequivocally prove Christianity wrong, I'll walk. But they can't. They can attack it at different angles and put up things. The aborted Tower of Babel was designed to reach heaven with a full knowledge on the part of the participants that the earth was flat and domed, sitting just beneath the throne of God. Genesis 11:1-8. They knew that. The cosmos hadn't cranked out the Copernican model yet. It hadn't even got to Ptolemaic astronomy. There was astronomy that was in opposition to the Bible, opposition to what I'm teaching you here, by called Ptolemaic. That switched the deal with the Earth moving around the Sun thing, and they had other stuff, weird stuff. So, Psalm 2, especially verse 2, indicates an awareness of who and what Jesus Christ is, seated on the throne. These people are actively opposing him. Maybe in their public life they deny he exists, but they are actively, and they're doing it in a conspiratorial manner. Nations that are out there competing with each other, opposed to each other, the kings of the earth take their stand. Now, someone will tell me, and I accept this, this is strictly dealing with the tribulation. A tribulational context in which the rulers of the earth becoming aware of through that the end is at hand. They already know it. The forces of darkness know it. They're geared up for this fact. Their time is running out. This cannot be a pleasant thought for certainly the demons. The demons in Jesus' day didn't even like having to deal with Jesus because they're worried that they might get a quick kick into hell. See, that they lived in that way. But anyway, my point is that they take counsel together. That means they have private meetings. They talk about stuff. And the gospel of Copernicus, this model, was taken to the nations by Jesuit missionaries. These people are all flat earthers. And here comes this fancy new deal in with the Jesuits. And the last major nation to sign off on that was China. China's always been kind of backwards, and they're back there, and they're the last to come around to everything. But they finally went on board with it. So it is my contention, the evidence is that the people in the high places, the average employee working for NASA or whoever, no, they don't know. Unless they, but Masons and these kind of people, yeah, they know this. They can't have the population of the earth believing it's flat because it's too big of a witness God exists and God did it. And all our other scientific stuff needs to be trashed because it's all wrong. Look at the reputations that will be brought down. Well, they're going to be brought down, thank God. So they take counsel together against the Lord, there's God the Father, using the same Yahweh word, and against his anointed, you know who that is, saying, etc. This all indicates collusion based on the fact they know the truth. There's lines of evidence that indicate they know the truth. The fact that Antarctica is off limits. It only except through the most stringent. You don't go to your travel agent and say, I want to go deep into Antarctica. They did this right after World War II, about the same time we got NASA. You don't get to go there. Now, if you're in good shape, you can hike up around the Arctic, the North, and guys do. They put a flag up there back in the day. The first person to reach the so-called North Pole. You don't have it for Antarctica. It's very mysterious, and everything about it. Because imagine, if this is true, we got this ice shield all around the earth, and then if you were able to go back far enough, you'd run into that dome. If you could get there. And Admiral Byrd talked about this. It was right after him and all that. They clamped down on it, and 10 nations signed off on this treaty. You can look it up for yourself. Yes, you can get in a cruise ship and run around the outside in the water, but you can't go. No inland exploration. Period. It's really something. So this indicates collusion about the nature of things. They got to know. All the while keeping the masses fooled. That's how they manipulate them. You say, how so? Oh, a big asteroid came real close to the Earth yesterday. There's aliens out there. Area 51. It keeps people entertained, and it keeps people thinking about something and directing their attention elsewhere. God, this is going to be used to bring in the strong delusion of connected with the rapture. They've got to have some explanation for this. Now, I'm not up here trying to tell you exactly how it's going to be framed. That remains to be seen. But there has to be an explanation. I thought a couple possibilities, but that's just speculation. D, why is the flat earth with its stylized ice wall featured on the United Nations flag? Because they're trying to trick us into believing the earth's flat? Well, that's a pitiful way to do it. Why don't they just come out and tell us? That's what someone of my church members said. Oh, they're trying to fake us and get us into the flat earth thing. Oh, really? And that's the best they can do? Is stick it on a flag that most people don't think twice about? It makes sense. The rebellious spirit of the peoples at Babel is alive and well in the hearts of modern leaders. Satan is not content with spreading his lies. He desires to overthrow God's throne. Isaiah 14:13. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. That's what this dummy imagines that he can do with an omnipotent God. He just wants that throne. The one he was the guarding cherub over before he fell. He wants the seat. And that's what's happened around here in my church. People want this. But they got to be careful. Maybe they'll go about it a different way. I never lusted for a pastor's position in a church. That's his church. You can have it. You know? Wow. The original poster for the European Union features the famous painting of an unfinished Tower of Babel by the Flemish artist Peter Bruegel, the Elder, 1563, with workmen with hammers suggesting a modern attempt. It reads, Europe, many tongues, one voice. That's a building block for the New World Order, the European Union. And that's why they had to have two world wars to set this thing up. They tried it with one world war. It didn't work. The United Nations imploded because the United States at least had enough sense and enough leaders in our Senate and positions of power that, no, we don't want any part of that. The Illuminati hadn't got its groundwork done and got enough of these people on board. So we did it after World War II. The UN. Further, one of the buildings of the European Parliament in Strasbourg, France, the Louis Weiss building, includes one of the towers that appears to be unfinished, mimicking the famous painting here. All right, I want to announce this. We'll take our break. Excuse me. We will not have class Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm gearing up for 1 John. We will finish whatever time it takes to do these final verses for our second session.